VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. And this is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we're here, as always, in person in the studio where we can spend an hour discussing all the great and wonderful things that happened this week. That should take about 5 minutes. And then there's about another 50 left for all the other things that happened this week, which is not exactly true. It was just kind of a little speed bump along the road to success, if you want to be a real optimist. So, to all our regulars, welcome back. I'm so happy that you tune in every week and make this thing possible. And to the new folks, if you are just catching it because you're driving by, or if somebody told you about it, or caught our website or something, stick around for the hour. We'll talk about all kinds of things that hopefully some of which will be new to you and maybe explain a little bit about what's going on. Now, those of you who've listened to the show a long time understand that the number one rule of this show is that when the phone rings, the caller goes to the front of the line. Good morning, Devin.
Well, good morning.
How are you?
Isn't this wonderful weather here?
Oh, man, you open the door now, and it just feels refreshing, doesn't it?
After all the heat this summer, it makes me feel great. But listen, I've got a question.
Yeah.
Why did the rising interest rates cause the stock market to go up?
Oh, that's a wonderful question.
Well, it actually caused it to go down.
Yeah.
So
What did I say? Up?
Well, yeah, that's okay, though. We know what you meant.
This wonderful weather.
Well, look at the history of rising interest rates over the past couple of years that Trump's been around, and the market is up over 6,000 points. So what caused what? There's a reaction, and then there's an analysis, and there's an action. If you think about why an interest rate would go up, it's because things are good. Because they're trying to control inflation, keep the employment at the right level, and so on. So they raise the interest rate. And what does that cause? A little panic in the minds of some investors, because they don't really put two and two together and say, well, they wouldn't have done that unless it was good news. So they have a little bit of a sell-off, and then people think about it and come back in, and it goes up to the next level. And it happens again. So the answer to your question is it's a reaction. That's all. It has nothing to do with common sense, logic, or long-term anything. Now, for other people, no. For other people,
so it's an action to the reaction. It's a reaction.
It always happens. That's what the market does. It has a pendulum. It goes back and forth, sometimes very slowly, sometimes very quickly. You look what happened in the market this week, which we'll talk more about after the call. There was a sharp reaction that took place this week. Very sharp. But think about it now. If you're young and you're borrowing money, you don't like it because the car loan you get, the mortgage you take out, it's going to cost you more. But if you're my age and you're a net saver now, we're done buying cars and houses and all that, you're going to love it because then on your safe money over on the side, you're going to be earning more interest. That's why we have been railing against these virtual zero interest rates for 10 years, because nobody was rewarding the savers. The more older people who make a little bit extra money because of higher interest rates, the less risk that group has to take in order to survive. That is a good thing. So it depends.
You always make things sound easier.
Well, the bottom line in all this, there's an old saying that says, where you stand depends on where you sit.
Right. You're great, and I love your voice.
Well, thank you very much. Always good to hear from you.
Okay, great.
Take
care.
Bye. All right, that was a very good introduction to all the things we want to talk about.
Yeah, it sure
today.
Is.
The market was wild. You probably know we've closed down over 800 on Wednesday and over 500 on Thursday, and then on Friday, I wouldn't have bet a plug nickel either way. Close up, close down, close flat.
It opened up pretty high, over 300, and then it was negative, and then it was positive, and it was all, I mean, this last 3 days of this week were all over the place.
All right, now let's see if you can tell me at the beginning of your market wrap, all of this was caused by, fill in the blank.
Well, sure, it was, I mean, the caller, Devin, was right. It was rising interest rates, but
they didn't rise this week.
They did on Wednesday.
Not due to the Fed.
And the long end of the curve rose pretty sharply on Wednesday, and that's what the reaction was to. But, okay, so for a long time, a lot of the pundits out there, especially the bears, have been predicting that the yield curve would invert. Meaning that,
and they were dreading it.
And they were saying that, it's an upcoming recession.
And what that means, for those of you who don't understand the yield curves, that means the short-term rates are actually higher than the long-term rates. So if you graph it, the tail end on the right starts to go down. A normal yield curve is the other way, where the longer you get out there to the right, the higher it goes.
And all that means is that you should be rewarded for taking on longer-term debt, but with higher interest rates, because there's more risk over time.
Yeah, and when it inverts, it's frequently right before a recession sets in.
It's one of the best predictors. Yeah. It's not right before, but it means that one is usually coming. So,
and that's simply because it is indicative of what's going on in the economy.
Sure.
That's why the interest rate would invert. And it isn't happening.
So for quite a while now, long-term rates have been just a hair above short-term rates. And that this week, those long-term rates rose. And they rose pretty quickly on Wednesday. Why? Who knows? It's just one of those things that happened with the market dictated that would happen. And the reaction was very swift and severe in the stocks. People freaked out. And the logic behind that is that, well, there's a number of things, but one of them is that your stocks start to look less attractive when you can buy a long-term bond that pays more because you're rewarded more for holding the safer asset. Anyways, so the market dropped severely, and then the same thing happened again on Thursday, and then we got a nice bounce on Friday, and it was pretty irrational, I thought.
It was pretty erratic, too.
And, yeah, very erratic. There was a ton of volatility. The VIX spiked on Wednesday and stayed up elevated through Friday.
And in the first 3 hours, it went from up 400 to down about 80 or something like that. And there was no way to predict what was
going to happen. No, no. And probably the worst thing you could have done is sell on Wednesday, even though it dropped again Thursday. We gained most of that back on Friday. And it just feels like one of those events similar to late January, early February, where the market freaks out and then it kind of the normal buying comes in. And the timing is also right before we go into quarter three reporting for earnings. So, you know, there's always that compounds it, because then people are worried, well, what if this quarter we don't see significant growth like we have the last few quarters? And what if we've already hit peak earnings has been the term they've been throwing around.
Everybody in the 24/7, 365 media is willing to stick their neck out and predict, oh my God, the earnings are going to be awful. So they start coming out, and how are they?
They look great, actually.
Fine,
on Friday.
You.
Yeah, the banks started reporting and things look good. So, you know, I mean, it's just one, it's part of investing. If you can't stomach this, you shouldn't be in stocks.
The bottom line is there are two kinds of people in the market. There are investors and speculators. If the speculators did what investors do, which means get in, plan it, hold it for someday, then the speculators could not possibly make a penny. They make their money on volatility, so they can buy, sell all the time. If the volatility is not happening on its own or because of economic reasons, guess what? They program their computers to create it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see volumes change like they did from Tuesday to Wednesday, it's not you and me, it's computers. More on this when we get back, including a related trivia question. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Way Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Way Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Way.
And I'm Adam Van Way.
And we have a trivia question brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888, and you will probably get Ken himself. We know we didn't have much fun on Wednesday and Thursday this week. Thursday was down 545 or so. But things have been bad this year over the last 12 months, other times than right now. How many days in this particular year?
Well, were, in the last 12 months or in this
well,
year?
Well, it actually works both ways because it all happened in 2018.
Oh, yeah. Nothing bad happened last year.
No.
Ever.
So how many days in the year 2018 have been even worse than Thursday in the Dow? In other words, had a bigger point change to the negative side. Good morning, Marshall.
Gentlemen.
How are you? Well, you use that term loosely, but nonetheless.
I'll try to set an upper limit for you. How about 10?
That is a good upper limit.
Too high.
Yep, a little high.
Couple of quick things for you. Number one, thank you for the timely email note that you sent out to a lot of folks this week.
I'm going to read that to the public in the fourth quarter, Marshall.
You did such a wonderful job on that. Thank you.
It was a
good item.
It always surprises me. You know, we get that feeling once in a while, and Adam and I usually experience the same thing at the same time, where we think, uh-oh.
We need to do an email.
Yeah, we need to do a correspondence to clients and friends because this kind of thing is not ordinary enough for most people to just ignore. So then we react to it. So when I react to it and start drawing it up and doing a little research, I'm the one who always winds up surprised. That's what I love doing about these. That's why my trivia questions are usually things I didn't know when I started. I love finding things that I would maybe not otherwise go look for. And that's what happened in this one. And I think it did help a lot. We got some nice comments and feedback on it. So Everybody out there know that in the fourth quarter of the show, I am going to read it to everybody and show you how we think about things and how we hope that our clients will think about things. So that's
in this 24-hour news cycle that we're into, and everything is alert or a news break or a special show or whatever, you know, it's nice that we take a breath, look at what really is happening, not what is being sensationalized,
right,
and then go from there.
Yep, I agree.
Second item this week, I heard that this was available, but for all of us who are concerned with all these constitutional amendments coming up.
I'm going through those in the third period.
we worked on that.
We're on top of this one, Marshall.
Yeah, we worked on that this week as well.
Did you happen to get the Jerry Holland version?
I don't think so.
No, I don't believe so.
I would suggest you Google Jerry Holland's speech on amendments.
Okay.
It is wonderful because it was put together very professionally by him, and he throws in some interesting historical facts, and you start seeing who is supporting something and why are they doing so.
Yeah, that's but the important part.
There's one that we've all discussed, and fortunately there is going to be a straw ballot item on the JEA for us here locally.
Oh, good. I'm not a Duval voter, so I won't get that one.
But I will.
But Adam will, and we've had some discussions with people about this one. I think that's a fantastic thing for asking the people. I just wish the public would become more educated before they vote on it. So whatever you can find, we'll be happy to talk about that. In fact, Adam, being a Duval County voter, should probably take a good look at that. And right before the election, we'll have him sum up what he can learn between now and then.
Well, I look forward to more education in the remainder of the hour. Thank you very much.
Okay, Marshall. Thanks for the call. Good morning, Larry.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We are fantastic. How are you?
You know, same routine. Just doing my Saturday work and listening to my favorite radio show.
Hey, it works for me.
We like to hear it.
Well, I wanted to take a stab at the trivia.
Shoot.
I'm torn between two numbers, but I'm going to guess the lower of them, and I'm going to say 4.
Maybe you should have guessed the higher one.
Good try. That was one of the numbers that came to mind when I first heard the question, too. I actually ended up guessing the right one, but it was one between two for me, and I almost guessed that.
And like every good horseshoes player knows, you got to be close until you finally get that ringer. So you've bracketed it in very nicely.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and I'd just like to say one more thing, too.
Of course.
As I recall, and I watch I don't have you guys' knowledge of the market, but I do watch it every day. I just kind of keep my eyes on it. And it seems to me that every single day that that happened, the following day it bounced right back.
It's not always one day linked to the next necessarily, but you're basically right. You don't go from 1,000 to 26,000 in 37 years unless you get over these things, because otherwise we'd be back at 1,000 today.
It, many times, yeah. Larry, it bounces back within a very short period of time, like less than a week. If you remember Brexit, was a couple summers ago. The vote came in, the market dropped something like 800 points and on a lower level back then. And within 3 days, I think it was back.
How about overnight on November 8th, 2016?
Yeah, there you go. The futures on election night tanked, absolutely tanked. And then by the time the market opened, it was neutral. And by the end of the day, it was up substantially.
Yep.
Yeah.
It happens.
I'm just thinking, even in just the time period that you're talking about, just since the beginning of the year, it seems like almost the next day it's bounced back. But even if that's not the case, every time
it
bounces back.
Listen to the rest of the show. There's a lot of stuff coming up about that very topic.
I'll be listening. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for calling. Bye.
All right.
Cheryl, I bet I know what you would like.
I want to take a guess.
Go for it.
5.
No, you're a little low yet. Sorry about that.
Good try, though.
We appreciate you trying, though.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
All right, folks, you got your bracket tightened in a little bit more.
Yep.
All right, Adam, more on the market this week.
Yeah, so what caused Wednesday? I want to go back and talk about that a little bit more. I think the market finally believed a Fed chairman because he spoke in plain English. That, I think what it really boils down to,
he's
is
got
that,
a lot of nerve.
I know. Listen, we've had 3 Alan Greenspan clones in a row.
Yep.
And they never say anything. They talk.
But it takes them forever to say it.
They talk, but nothing factual comes out. It's a bunch of hedging their own bets. And Powell just said, look, we're going up. And the market said, oh, I kind of believe that, and freaked out.
But he at least uses a word that we understand called normalization.
Yeah, and he's right.
ZERP is not a normal condition for an economy in good condition, people.
No, it
hurts. Zero interest rate policy.
Yeah, it hurts too many people, specifically the ones you want to hurt the least, which are your elderly who need Social Security increases. By the way, if you hadn't heard, that number got released, and it's the highest it's been in, I believe, 10 years, 2.8% next year.
Yep.
So thank goodness is all I can say about
now,
that.
For those of you who are as skeptical as I am, because I've trained you so well over the last 16 years, we all naturally assume that they're going to take it away from us on Medicare, right?
Probably.
Nope.
No.
I looked it up this morning, and much to my wonderment, the average increase of 2.8% for the average person is about $39 a month.
Yeah, I heard that.
And the Medicare B is going up $1.50. You are actually going to have an increase in take-home pay this year.
What is that, about 400, a little under 400 bucks? Not bad.
And that's average. And the average, a lot of people had long experience like I have, or something to the tune of half again or double average. So for the longer serving or higher earning people out there, you're going to get a really, really good raise. Except, of course, there's always those increases that you get when you make more than the base amount of money.
Yeah.
But they're, even the worst case there is only up about $3.50 a month. So everybody's going to be well off, better off this new year. So that's a good thing.
It is. And there was some other good news out there. Despite a 1,107-point drop this week, the Dow is still up 2.5% this year. Part of that came on the bounce rally Friday, but it is also it's also the index that is up the least this year, or the major index that's up the least. The S&P is up 3.5, and the NASDAQ is still up 8.6%.
And guess what else? If you go back exactly a year from Friday on the Dow, it's up 10.5%.
Yeah, so it's not all doom and gloom out there. Some other indexes like the Russell 2000 are just barely clinging on to gains for the year. But all the major indexes are solidly in the black. The other good news is that stocks are in major, major oversold territory, and the S&P is trading almost 4 times below its 50-day moving average. And why is that good news? Because it starts to look pretty attractive at those levels. The valuations look a lot better than they did last week, even.
Buying opportunity.
Exactly. So that is, it's not all bad news. Like many other things in finance and politics, it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, I might tell you about Peter Schiff's little rant from this week, too. It isn't easy to join the ranks of the Stansberries, Davidsons, Yellens, Krugmans, and Schillers. They're the people I always admonish people. When you see their name on something, just bypass it. Don't read it. You're wasting your time. But Peter Schiff is probably better known than most of them. He's the head of Euro-Pacific Capital. But he did the nearly impossible this week when he stepped right up and joined the ranks of I will never read him again. So if we get a chance, I'll tell you more about that when we get back. Anyway, we've got a lot to do with after the turn. We're going to talk about the amendments and a bunch of other things. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have this segment sponsored by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. You can call Troy at 662-9794. Now, my crack research department has admonished me that we need to tell people how to get our newsletters.
Well, I was going to do it when we actually read the letter in the fourth segment.
That's what I was going to say. Stay tuned into the fourth segment. We're going to read the most recent one and tell you how to sign up and or just get a hold of us or set up a meeting in our office. So all that will come up in the next one. I do also want to remind people that our trivia question is still out there. How many days were even worse than Thursday this year in the Dow? And we have a bracket. Five's too low, 10 is too high. Mm-hmm. Pretty easy. Now I want to give a shout-out also to our friends at Gabriel House. And there are a lot of people in this town who understand what Gabriel House is. But everybody knows Jacksonville wouldn't be Jacksonville, except for the medical community, which is humongous and outstanding. And, of course, Mayo Clinic is part of that. Well, Gabriel House is part of the Mayo campus out near the beach. And it was made especially for people who would really rather not be going to Mayo, because to even be considered to stay there for a while, you have to have bad news. But given the fact that you have bad news, the good news is you might get to stay at Gabriel House. And we got on to it when it was opened through a friend who invited us out to see it. We were so impressed. It has become one of our annual giving things. Sarah and I always like to say that we feel like our contribution buys the toilet paper at Gabriel House every year.
Probably not all of it, though.
No, probably not. But they were quick to remind everybody on the opening night that there are ongoing expenses in running a place like that, and that's one of them, so we adopted that one. Anyway, the concept is a very inexpensive, very homey, easy-to-stay place on campus. And the original concept was because there were people who were awaiting a transplant, and with transplants, minutes count. So by staying on the campus, when the call came in and said the transplant organ is going to be ready, they whisk them over to the surgical part and get it done, and then they can recuperate there, too. And it's just an incredible facility. You should check it out. And if you're looking for ways to spread the wealth that we've gained in the market this year, consider them. It's a very good thing for the community. So anyway, Adam wants to wrap up a few more things here, and then we do have a look at the amendments coming up in a couple minutes.
Definitely. So if you're thinking that U.S. stocks were the only thing that got pummeled this week, you'd be wrong. International markets also got hammered. Brazil and India, surprisingly, were two of the only markets to see gains over the week. Most countries were also down between 2% and 5%. So, I mean, not that it really is any consolation, but we weren't the only ones. It was kind of a global rout.
Yeah, and who was the winner this week? This one's a killer, I think.
Surprisingly, Brazil.
Yep.
Which is now
who's been pummeled and thwapped
was
and
down
beaten up
20 something percent. Yeah. I think almost 30% one point this year is now one of the better markets, and therefore emerging markets were one of the things that held up the best this week, which is again surprising. Usually the most volatile asset class or one of the most volatile asset classes.
Things got so bad in Brazil that politically it looks like they may just change things over and become a little bit more pro-business guy.
Yeah, exactly. The bond market also increased. Long treasuries gained 1.27%. Gold was up. Utilities were down, but they're the only sector that's positive in October. So a lot of flight to safety this week, which is to be expected.
Yeah. And then who knows how long it'll take to get all of that loss back, but we'll find out. Good morning, Mary.
Hi. I'd like to guess on the trivia.
Please do.
How about six?
How about six? I like the number six.
You got it.
Just a good handful with one left over.
All right.
Absolutely right. I will give you a quick rundown. The 2nd of February, 665. The 5th of February, 1,175 down. The 8th of February, 1,032 down. 22nd of March, 724 down. The 6th of April, 572 down. And, of course, Wednesday at 831. So we always think that these things, when they're shocking us by watching them on TV, oh my gosh, this hasn't happened in forever. What do we do? Well, yeah, it's happened quite a bit. And that's just this year. So the panic level far exceeds what it's worth, although it's a perfectly normal human response, in my humble opinion. So you are correct. Six times. I will put
you. Thank you. I didn't think it was that many.
Yeah, well, I'll put you on hold, and we'll get your stuff, and Adam will send you out a little something or other.
Okay.
What do we got this week?
We actually have a $25 gift card to the Homestead Restaurant in Jacks Beach.
Oh, good.
And it's really good if you haven't been there yet.
Cool. All right. Well, have fun, and thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Good. Six times, even worse than Thursday.
Yeah.
Thursday felt pretty bad, too.
It did. Well, it didn't help that it came after Wednesday.
It did not help. Yeah. But those 2 days with the 1,000-pointers, I remember those like it was yesterday. And thankfully, your memory can let those things fade back a bit.
The economic data this week was surprisingly negative as well. It wasn't that bad, but there wasn't a lot of positive, I'll put it that way. That even small business optimism came in below expectations, and that's kind of been the shining star of this recovery since Trump got elected. There was a couple of inflation reports. One was on target. One actually missed, coming in a little bit lower than expected, but it still showed an increase in inflation. So it still kind of made a little bit of
panic. Yeah, they call that negative.
Yeah. Next week, a little bit more. There's a bunch of housing reports. Retail sales comes out, JOLTS, and some other. I think there's about 17 reports, so a little more active next week, and it'll give us a better picture of what's going on.
Plus, the uptick in earnings season starts next week. Then the next 2 weeks after that, it's really in full bore. So we'll see if all these doomsayers are anywhere near correct.
Yep, we sure will.
My guess is they'll be off a mile. Oh, and by the way, the good news is the bullish sentiment for investors dropped suddenly this week.
Yay.
That is a good thing because the crowd is generally wrong.
Definitely.
All right.
So let's talk some politics, even though we don't do that very often, or try not to anyway.
The reason that people care so much about things like Supreme Court justices is because when you can't get something through by a legislative process, you try to railroad it through a court. And that is what's been happening for a long, long time. Well, it's not much different in Florida. Florida is just a microcosm of the country as a whole. And so there are some judges on the ballot. I am not going to speak to them because, frankly, I have not finished my research on them. But over the decades I've lived here, what we have found is that Florida's Constitution has a major flaw in that it is way too easy to offer amendments to the people.
Yes.
And it does not have a truth in labeling law behind it. Very often, it is worded with double negatives and things like that that make something sound one way when it's really another. And this is their way of sneaking it in. And it is so bad, or got so bad, that we even had and passed an amendment regarding the treatment of pregnant pigs.
That is the most common example, but there's actually more egregious examples of things that the people have passed that are more harmful, but that one just sounds funny, so we use it all the time.
And it shows you the pure silliness of this whole thing.
It's a terrible
system. But it's important. So I'm going to go over what we're actually asking this time. And by the way, there's a retired Florida Supreme Court justice who is suing the state to make them stop bundling these ideas together, and I could not be more on his side. Amendment 1 is to raise the homestead property exemption for by another $25,000 for homes worth more than $100,000. When something is a tax cut, which this is for people like me, guess who's going to support it?
I do.
Amendment 2. This proposal caps at 10% increases in property taxes on non-homestead property. You know, we passed Save Our Homes back in the 90s, which capped your homesteaded property at 3% annually. There is no cap on the other one. Now, this can be called controversial, but if you call it controversial to me, I won't listen to you.
We kind of disagree on this one.
I know.
Go ahead.
We do. But anyway, I like the fact that there's going to be a cap on it because it can tame out of control government. I would personally like to see it even lower than 10, but that's not up to me. Amendment 3 gives voters the right, supposedly, to decide where the casinos are going to go. Now, because we're right on the break, I'm going to come back and tell you about a misleading proposal. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we're talking about the Florida constitutional amendments that are on the ballot in November. And number 3 was the first difficult one. It's very complicated and misleading. And I'm going to cut away and talk about our client newsletter because we can run this, the amendment discussion into next week if we have to. But the client letter was very focused time-wise. So this is what we sent out to all of our clients and a lot of other people who have signed up for our newsletter. And if you like it and are interested in getting our newsletter, right after I'm done, Adam's going to tell you the various ways you can sign up for it. So this said on October 11th to our valued clients and friends regarding 25,598, a walk down memory lane 2018 style. Yesterday was not much fun on Wall Street, Main Street, nor on your street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 831 points, closing at 25,598. Moreover, the previous couple days weren't that much fun either, so what's up with that? I took a little stroll in the financial park today just to gain some orientation and was intrigued by my own findings. The first tidbit came from a one-year look back on the Dow, which yielded an interesting number, 22,779. A little simple math shows that the index has gained 2,819 points, which is 12.37%, in exactly 1 year. This is above the average annual performance for the past 100 years. So why does it feel so bad, you might ask? Several of you have actually done just that, and we felt that a response was warranted. After all, we're in the market personally just like you are. Let's look at some of the media hype surrounding this normal market pause. How many of you think that the Dow Jones level of 26,000 is a brand new phenomenon? Would you believe that we first achieved that milestone on January 17th, 2018? Look it up if you need to make yourself feel better. Further, how many remember that in a span of 2 weeks from January 26th through February 7th, 2018, the Dow fell 2,756 points? This was a drop of over 10%, which is called a correction. The average number of corrections over time is one per year. We did not have one in 2017, so are we due for another one in 2018? We have no idea. It could happen, but this is not 2007 when the economy was in ruins. Why, you might ask, is this happening? There are reasons and there are excuses, both in abundance. None of either can be shown to have caused a sell-off. The market does what it does without regard to our feelings, our insight, or our analysis. What matters is the driving force of market performance, the economy. Right now, we challenge anyone to find a better time in the nation's economic history. Logic dictates that this is a temporary normal correction, which will soon end. Neither fun nor profitable, it is normal and healthy for the market. We suggest you take in a good movie, go for a walk on the beach, or otherwise bide your time for a while. Let the current outstanding business environment create the turnaround we need in order to feel better. It will come. We just can't say if it will be 1 week, 1 day, longer, shorter. But we are confident that it can't take long in this economy. Stephen Adam. And lo and behold, that was written prior to Friday, where Friday we picked up another 287 points out of what we lost for the week. So the lesson there is pretty simple. Don't lose your head. I wrote one years ago during a bad time. It's called Don't Ever Try to Catch a Falling Knife. And I've expanded on that lately, that says wait till it hits the floor, then pick it up, wipe it off, and go back to making dinner.
So if you want to sign up for those, just go to our website. It's VanWeeFinancial.com. And if you click on blog and social media and just scroll down past the blog, there is a join our newsletter, which just requires your first name, last name, and your email address. Or if you go to our website and you stay on it for more than about 5 to 7 seconds, there'll be a pop-up in the lower right-hand corner that says join our newsletter. Just enter your email and you will be subscribed. If you we don't send out a ton of emails, maybe once every other month or 3 months, quarterly. But if you want to hear things like that from us when times get rough like that, then that's a good way to do it.
Yeah, we don't infiltrate your mailbox like so many do. But the price is right.
Yeah, it won't cost you a thing.
Well, back to Amendment 3, I want to remind everybody that we live in a representative republic. You hear a lot of people complaining about losing our democracy. Well, we don't have one. We never had one. We never wanted one. In fact, the age-old definition of a democracy is two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner. Not a good thing. Mob rule is another name for democracy. Look at the Constitution, as I do once a year, and read through it, and I defy anyone to find the word democracy in there. It does not exist. We are represented by people whom we choose on a consistent basis to make laws to represent us. If we don't like them, once they pass them, we have some redress through, let's say we get some new people in there to make laws. We can write letters. We can change them. Too often, though, we are aiming at the courts to do it. All right, time out. And this will go into next week, trust me. Good morning, Captain Dave.
Good morning. You just said what I was just going to talk about. Changing the
sorry to steal your thunder.
Is a perfect example.
Yep.
Of democracy.
Yep. It's a terrible word. A democratic form of government is not a terrible word. A democracy is a terrible word.
Well, the people who wrote our Constitution hated democracy.
Yes.
Didn't think it was a valid form of government whatsoever, because they had studied Greece. They saw what happened in Greece as soon as it stopped being a republic. Same thing happened in Rome. Rome was a republic, and then all of a sudden it became a democracy, then it became a dictatorship,
yep.
and that was that.
That's where it leads.
The other question I was going to ask you, do you think any of this sell-off was induced by guys like Soros or anything trying to do whatever they could?
Dave, I have avoided addressing that topic in public, but since you did, Adam I are in stark disagreement on this.
Here we go.
The conspiracy theorist in me says, of course.
No.
And Adam says there's no way. Even they don't have that kind of power.
Maybe. You know, I understand. But, you know, we saw the flash crash. What the hell is that?
To this day, I consider it unexplained to my satisfaction.
I agree with that.
I mean, don't know.
How did it happen? Everybody didn't just suddenly jump off a bridge. Well,
some little guy in Chicago presses the wrong key on a computer,
right,
and
no.
Orders a sale of 50 million something instead of 50,000. Yeah, I believe that one. I was born, yesterday? No, thank you so much.
No, you just fell off the turnip truck.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, I'll talk to you guys. I'm leaving for the island next week, so I'll talk to you when I get back.
All right, a Jamaica farewell to our friend. We'll see you soon. Right, anyway, Amendment 3 to me is a classic example, and you're seeing now, as Adam pointed out on the break to me, that one of the problems with making law this way through the amendment process is that people with money can put their side on TV and slant it.
Oh, you're seeing it. I mean, you can't turn on the TV without seeing an ad about one of the amendments.
Voters in this state and voters in that state and voters in that other state have these rights. You should have them, too.
Yeah.
Well, what are they talking about? The right to say where the casino should go in? And then there's the Seminole tribe who has a pretty much lock on it, and people are saying that they're involved in wanting this. So there's something about number three that is absolutely inexplainable or unexplainable so far to me, and I'll tell you how I always default. When in doubt, no.
Exactly. And the thing is, they're appealing to your sense of wanting to have more rights, like not giving up your rights, which that alone, they know that that's a very appealing statement.
Right.
That scares me. That means that there's more to this than they're letting on.
Yep. Amendment 4 restores voting rights to felons. Now, this one's controversial, and what I'm going to say is my opinion. I believe if you take away the disincentives for crime, such as losing your voting rights on a felony, that you are encouraging more crime. I'm voting no on that simple principle.
I think it needs to be a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, I agree.
Not a blanket.
I agree. Let's have a process, not a statement, not an amendment. Amendment 5 would require a two-thirds vote in the Florida House and Senate instead of a simple majority to raise taxes. Now, like I said, for 16 years you've been listening to me on and off on the radio. How do you think I feel about that one?
You're disappointed because it's not 100%.
There, I would go for the 75 or the 100 or anything, but two-thirds is one heck of a lot better than 50%. So, yes, let's keep these people from raising our taxes. I would very much appreciate it.
We may need it if Gillum gets elected.
Yes, for sure. In fact, we'll talk more about that next week, too. We will pick up with Amendment 6 next week and a bunch of other new topics. Let's see how it goes in the market this week. Maybe it's comeback week. Maybe it's not. But we'll be in there playing the game one way or the other, just like you all should. All right, enjoy yourself, and we'll see you the same time next week. This is the Ben Wee Financial Hour.